said it best, the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things that I don't want to do, those are the things that I do. We create tension in our own hearts and our own spirits. All of these things are at work, and yet God, in the midst of it all, says, love one another. So how do we get along with each other? And so last time we were together, we talked about edifying one another, what that meant and what that means today and how that breaks down. And we're called to edify. Edify broke down to kind of to build one another, to add blessing, to add value, to build one another up. And we have laid out in this series so far this idea that our relationship with each other impacts our relationship with God. Can't say you love God and hate your brother or sister. Well, you can, but it doesn't work. We can say whatever we want to say. But it's kind of like when your kid comes to you with their great idea. That's just the goofiest thing. I got a text. I don't want to say from who the other day. It was Sierra. And she's just kind of going through this litany. Dad, these are my thoughts. Blah, 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 blah. And that's why I feel like I this is good. I need to, yes. Then I get a text. Never mind, I just read it. It's really stupid. So sometimes we kind of get into our head and we get into our mind this idea of what it's going to be, and we think it's fine. But here's the thing. Our relationship with each other impacts our relationship with God because God calls us to love one another. And in Ephesians 4:29, Paul says that edification is connected to communication. And we talked a little bit about the power of the tongue. And not only do our words impact other people and create realities, but they also reveal our nature and reveal our character and our hearts. Sometimes people say, oh, Pastor West, I don't know, I got angry and I don't know where that came from. Well, I'm going to help you out this morning. It came from your heart. Well, Pastor West, no, I'm not like that. Well, apparently you are. Well, Pastor West, I don't like that. Well, that doesn't change where it came from. Our words reveal our heart. Our words reveal our spirit. And I have said this before. I'm one who really genuinely believes that no matter what happens in our lives, we return to the temperature of our hearts. And if you are someone who's a positive person and a loving person and a generous person, if something tragic happens or bad happens, even if you are down, you will return to that place of generosity. You will return to that place of love and kindness and being a gentle person and because that's the temperature of your spirit. But if you're a negative, a complainer, and there are people like that. There's nothing they can't complain about. You're probably complaining about what I just said. That even if something great and awesome happens, and they're like, I am so happy, they will return to the temperature of their hearts. That's why God has to change our hearts. For all of us. He says this, edification is connected to communication. Our words reveal our character. Our words reveal our heart. And we talked about how the tongue is a dangerous thing because Scripture says in it is life and death. That truth with no love can be brutal, but love with no truth may make you feel better, but it doesn't make you any better off. And neither is really the best way. We've got to get the right information with the right heart. And in doing that, you're edifying one another. You're building. Truth and love are the guardrails of godly communication. And as we speak truth and love and build one another up, the Ephesians says that it gives grace to those who hear. Colossians told us that it was gracious. Our words should be gracious and seasoned with salt. To be kind, to work at bringing out the best from people, season it so that it's edible and digestible, so that we have to trust the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us in all of this, because our relationship with other people impacts our relationship with God. Look at your neighbor and say, speech is spiritual. It is. James 5, we're told, be patient, stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. See, this is encouraging for those who may be going through a tough time today. This is encouraging for those who might be in a season of struggle. And listen, we go through seasons of struggle. We do. Some people feel like the very unchristian thing to say, well, if you're the Lord, man, you're always the head and not the tail. Well, that's all great. And I believe the word. But sometimes we go through tough seasons. Anybody, am I talking to anybody today? No, Pastor, I've never had a hardship.
Really? Really?
Okay. So it's something we go through trying times, and this verse is saying that the Lord is near. Hold on. He's like, hey, the Lord is at hand. Your struggle is real and it's genuine, and what you feel, and what you're experiencing, but God is close. So hold on, but he challenges us to watch our mouth, watch your grumbling, watch the complaining, because also the judge is at the door, he says later on. And so the Lord is close, but while you're waiting, don't take your frustrations out on other people. Don't take your anxiety out on other people, or your anger out on other people, because that's what happens with us often. Somebody at work makes you angry, and you come home, and you know, you get out, you slam the door, you're kicking the dog. Never kick yours. Neighbors, maybe. Not your dog, though. You know, you come out, and it's just we tend to transfer that anger and that emotion on someone else. He says, don't let your mouth block your blessing. And David said it best in Psalms 19, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So this whole series has been based on the premise of loving each other, because our relationship with each other impacts our relationship with God. And we've been talking about ways to express that love towards each other. And I want to spend some time today on talking to you about being encouraged. We are to encourage each other often. And if we're not experiencing encouragement, then most of the time we are dealing with discouragement. So if you're here this morning saying, I'm not necessarily encouraged, I'm saying you're probably a little discouraged then. And if you look back at history, October 24th, 1929, the stock market crashed, leading to what we call today as the Great Depression. When the Great Depression hit, lives were turned upside down, and some of the things I read said that this, 37,000 businesses had to close their doors immediately. The employment rate went up to 24% nationally, that 18 out of every 100,000 people took their own life. Some of the articles I read said that divorces skyrocketed. Others said that it cost too much to divorce, but they stayed together, but the marriages dissolved, that men abandoned families because they couldn't handle the realities of not working, and wives had to get work, and kids had to get work, and it just tore the home up, and people lived in this desperation because they were living under a great depression. I think if you got up tomorrow morning and turned on the news, that there are still people who are living under a great depression. There are still things on people's lives and homes that tear at the fabric of our families. The fabric of right and wrong. There are people who are living under the weight of discouragement and the burden of disappointment. And this morning, if we could bring them in and listen to their stories, they would probably break our hearts, and we'd hear this common theme that would kind of wrap up like this. Life isn't fair. I've had people sit in my office and tell me that. I've had people say, Pastor, I feel like I'm living someone else's life. My life was not supposed to be like this. Just so that you know you're not alone. The Bible is full of men and women who became discouraged, who went through challenges, went through hard times. The writer of Ecclesiastes in chapter 7 says, better is the day of my death than my birth. That's a pretty rough day. You've got Jonah who said, God, just kill me because I'm so depressed and I'm so discouraged. He wanted to be the prophet of God, and he spoke against the city, and God decided, oh, someone changed and their hearts changed. I'm going to spare the city. Now Jonah says, now no one's going to believe me, and God gave him this vine, and it gave him shade, and it was all nice, but then God made a worm come and eat the vine, and it killed it, and Jonah just finally said, that's it. Just let me die. You ever had one of those moments? Lord, can I just go to sleep and wake up in heaven? Tell my family all the time, I want to die in my sleep, not yelling and screaming like everybody else in the car, you know. Moses wandered for 40 years on the backside of a desert. He was raised, he was trained to be in Pharaoh's house, to be leadership, and now the guy is watching sheep in the middle of nowhere, actually on the backside of the middle of nowhere. Little discouraged. You've got the Apostle Paul who said at one point in his life, I was low to the point of death. Not only was he at a place that physically his life was threatened, but emotionally he was discouraged, he was depressed, he saw no real way out of something. David in Psalms 42, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? Some of the great names in the Bible had to deal with depression and they had to deal with discouragement. And I think we today too sometimes, and it's tough because sometimes we get this idea of what a Christian ought to look like and act like. And you know what? It seems like they're never sad. They always have the joy of the Lord. And listen, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. But there's days I'm just like, what in the world? What is going on? Franklin D. Roosevelt, in his response to the Great Depression, came up with the New Deal. And it included three things. It was the three R's: relief, recovery, and reform. And it was an attempt to bring people out of those challenging times that seemed to hold the nation as a whole captive. And for all of those that are discouraged this morning, I want to say, God's got a new covenant. God's got a new deal for you that we can embrace and we can be a part of it, that he wants to teach us. And here's the thing, how do you make it until your change comes? Because isn't that where we live? I know where I'm at, and I know what God can do. The problem is I'm still here, and it's still there. So how do I make it? How do I get through? How do I hold on while the change comes? Well, here's the thing. I can't tell you when your change is going to come, but I can tell you how to make it through till your change does come. And in the book of Hebrews, it's written to a people who are tired, they're frustrated, and they're half ready to give up. Jewish Christians who are getting ready to kind of throw in the towel because following Christ was hard. They've been walking with the Lord. They've been following Jesus. They were losing friends. They were losing property. Some of them have been taken, jailed, locked up. And they're looking at this thing saying, whoa, 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 this is crazy. This is crazy. Maybe we just need to go back to the life that we used to live. And maybe we don't have to act like we used to live, but we don't need to kind of move the way we're moving and do the things that we're doing. Maybe we can just hold. And the author of Hebrews is writing the book to encourage them not to go back. And he's saying, I know you want to go back. And I know you feel like you can't keep going forward. And I know sometimes you look at life and go, hey, is this Christianity thing really working for me? But he says, keep going. Don't stop. Don't stop moving forward. Keep pressing in. The author, Hebrew, writes telling them that Jesus is better and he's worth going all the way for, and that there's a new arrangement and a new covenant and a new covering. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16, it says, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their heart and write them on their minds. See, God's making a new agreement. God's making one with you and I that's going to cover us. And that's what a covenant is. It is a covering of our lives and a covering of our families. God, you're covered by the Son of God if you operate under the rule of God. Okay? You're covered by the Son of God if you operate under the rule of God. So the writer of Hebrews is saying this, don't go back. I know you're going through a tough time, but don't throw in the towel. God has a new covenant with you and a new covenant for you. Verses 19 through 22, listen. It says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, full of assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. He says, guys, listen, instead of going back, keep pressing forward. Instead of falling away because it's tough, press into the wind all that much more. He says that I want you and I, even when it's tough, even when you want to go back, to boldly enter into the presence of a living God. Don't come in casually. Don't come in like you're just kicking off your shoes, like you own the joint. You don't own the joint. It's God's house. But don't come in like a stranger. You have been invited. Access has been given. Knowing the Son gets you into the presence of the Father. And I think one of the reasons why we sometimes get in discouraging places and stay in discouraging places is that we don't take advantage of the access that we've been given to the presence of God. Because it's a lot more comfortable to have cute Christianity. Let's go to church. Let's put a little something in the plate. Let's give a little money here or there to help feed some kids. And you know what? I got this Christianity thing. Check the box. I'm going to glory. He says, access the throne room of God, which if you know Jesus is a right. We're to come in boldly, his word says. His body was broken, the veil was torn, and it made a door that we all can enter into his presence. And we enter into the presence of God, and we lay our pain down, and we lay our struggle down, and we lay our stress down, and we need to grab hold of the opportunity that we've been given. Listen, God is not impressed by how much pain you can carry. God looks and says, why are you carrying that? Don't you know that my burden is light? Cast it on me. Well, God, how can I do that? Well, come into my presence. Come into my presence. Well, God, are you sure it's okay? My son made the way. I feel like sometimes we just say, God, watch this. I'm almost done, but man, I get, well, look at this. Someone else has hurt me again. I'm carrying it for you. I'm carrying it. God's like, you're an idiot. I don't know if God actually says you're an idiot. I'm pretty sure God has said I'm an idiot, but I don't know if God would say you're an idiot. Listen, draw near. Draw near. The issue is that when we get discouraged, the temptation that we experience is to shrink away. I'm doing the best I can, God. What are you doing? And we want to back away. All of a sudden, we don't want to go to church. And all of a sudden, we don't want to go to small group. And all of a sudden, we don't want to talk to our accountability partners. All of a sudden, we don't want to go to Sunday school. Why? Because we're kind of mad at God. You said you'd provide. You said you'd be my Savior. You said you'd make a way. Well, you know what, God? You stink. Because it's harder and it's tougher. I'm in worse shape. It doesn't seem like it's getting better. And so we kind of have our little adult pout time. And we're tempted to back away, aren't we? One, two, three or four honest folks in here. We don't want to press in. We want to get away. And the thing is this. The thing we have to grasp is this. When Jesus says this, he says, listen, when you're discouraged, draw near. The time that you don't feel like you want to, the time that you don't want to draw near, is probably the most important time to draw near and press into him. He says in verse 22 of Hebrews 10, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Why draw near? Because Hebrews 23 tells us, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. God says, don't shrink away, press in. Why? Because if I've promised it, I'm going to do it. You can trust that. You can hold on to that. He says, and I know you're thinking, hey, Pastor, you said you were going to talk about encouragement. You're just talking about discouragement. Listen, I'm going somewhere. I'm going somewhere. Hold fast to your confession as a follower of Christ Jesus or Jesus Christ. Don't back off of that. Hold on to it, because he who has promised is faithful. Well, here's the struggle. The struggle is this. There's this gap between what God promises and the time that he fulfills it, and we don't know how big the gap is. That's right. Isn't that the struggle? We know he's able. We know God can do it. We just want it done today. When God promises something based on His word, it is good. He is good for it, but He doesn't tell you when that's going to be. So here's the thing. If you shrink back rather than drawing near, when you are in a discouraging situation, what we do is lengthen the time between the promise and the fulfillment. Do you hear what I just said? God says, Wes Johnson, I promised something for your life. I'm like, awesome, this is great. And here's the fulfillment of it. If I hit struggle in here and I say, you know what, God, I don't, man, it's tough, it's hard. I don't want to talk to my accountability people, God. I'm tired of talking about the same stuff, God, I don't want. And I'm moving backward. I'm lengthening the distance. God says, draw near. Draw near. When we're discouraged or tired or frustrated or just feel like in our life we're treading water, just trying to hold on and slowly shrink away rather than draw near, the problem isn't that God is faithful. God is faithful. The issue is this, that as Christians, we only have two directions, forwards and backwards. There's no neutral. There's no staying where you are. It's like, you know, treading water in the ocean. You might not feel like the current's moving you, but you're always being moved somewhere. And years ago, we were at the beach, and we were playing in the water, and all of a sudden I look out, and I did not recognize anyone on the beach. I'm thinking, we were right there. And we had just been playing, and the current had just moved us about 100 yards down the beach. I thought my family had left me. I'm like, what? I'm nice, you know? The current. You don't realize it. Even you think, I'm just trying to hold on. No, you're not. You're being moved. You're being moved. You're either going forward or you're going backwards, but you are being moved. And the thing is this, we can be blocking the promises of God because our discouragement keeps us from moving forward. So God is faithful. Can we say that together? I want to count to three and I want to hear you say it. Say it. 1, 2, 3. God is faithful. So why does God want you to move forward? Because God is not only preparing our promise, but He is developing our character as well. God is saying, I've got the answer, but I'm going to get you ready for the answer. I got the blessing, but I'm preparing you for the blessing. You see, too often we want the promise of God without the character development. God, just give me what I want. You're not ready for what you want. Try me, God. I can handle it. God's like, no, I know you. Listen, God is a steward. Sometimes if God would give us the promise before our character can handle it, don't you know we would waste it or misuse it? And God is a steward, and it took 25 years for Abraham to, from the time that God promised Abraham a child to the time that Isaac was born. Why? Because Abraham wasn't ready for the promise. He wasn't ready. And if you shrink back then, God can't develop you, then why would He give you something that you're not ready to receive and use for His glory? So in spite of your discouragement, you've been trying to live for God and honor God and do right things, and it just seems like God is doing nothing. Listen, I just want to say, keep pressing forward. Keep moving forward. Keep moving towards Him, towards His presence, towards His Spirit, towards that access with the Father. Keep moving that way. And I also want to encourage you in this. It is absolutely possible for you to love God and be discouraged. See, sometimes we think, if I love God, I can't be discouraged. And then we find ourselves in discouraging situations, and then the old enemy comes in our ear and says, see, you don't really trust. You don't really love God. And he brings guilt and he brings shame because that's what the enemy uses. Hebrews 10, 24, 25. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works, not neglecting to meet together. I think if they rewrote that scripture today, they said not neglecting to meet together and on time. As is the habit of some. But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Here's the thing. God is teaching us about motivation here. God knows that we're subject to discouragement sometimes in our life because there's sin in this world, and there's sin in us, and there's evil at work, and we have an enemy that seeks to do nothing but three things: steal, kill, and destroy. And he says to the church, part of your job is to consider. And that word, when you break it down, means plan on how you're going to motivate believers to keep going. Even when it's tough, even when it's hard, even when it's trying. And one of the main reasons why you should come to church and join a church is for the motivation that you get from your fellow believer to keep going in your faith. We're to spur one another on. Well, church is, you know. No, this is what God says. And I'm telling you, if God says it, there's a purpose and there's a point and there's a power to it. Consider how to stir one another up. And he's not talking about just winding somebody up. You ever had one of those folks that you're just kind of, you could be around and whatever they're doing, they can get you all jacked up about it, all excited about it. And then they leave and you kind of start rethinking. You're going, wait, what in the world did I just agree to? That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about some emotional tizzy that you get up and, yeah, I'll be there. And then you're leaving, I don't want to go. So then you're praying to get sick so you can call him, I don't feel good. He's talking about motivating, encouraging us to continue to love and to do good works, even when we're tired and frustrated and discouraged. Why? Because if we don't move forward, we drift backwards. One believer encouraging another believer to keep moving. It's how we love each other. It's how God calls us to love each other. Like a cup of coffee in the morning that perks you up. Everybody here should be an encourager or should be encouraged by an encourager. No one who is serious about serving Christ should go unencouraged. Nobody. Consider how to encourage or motivate one another to love and to good deeds. And the thing is this, believers should be encouraging believers to keep going and drawing near him, because not only are you drawing near to him, but you're drawing near to the fulfilled promise of God. Because God is faithful. Too many miss out on that because we're discouraged and we're drifting and we aren't seeing the fulfillment of God's promises in our lives. Listen, we need to encourage each other. God wants us to strengthen other believers and to be strengthened by other believers. Because the truth of the matter is, if you're here today and you don't need encouragement today, you will need it someday. Because all of us need it. But we live in such a selfish generation. It's about what's in it for me. It's so crazy. We're potentially moving houses, and we have some stuff we're getting rid of. And then there's this app, you see it on TV, called Let Go. Have you seen that? I signed up just because I thought I could make a cool commercial, but they didn't want me. So I'm like going through now. I'm like clicking everything, and we clicked this little Tykes kid table. I took it out my yard. And I just thought, these things can't work the way like they're supposed to work. I posted it, said, hey, I want $15 for it. We spent way more than that. I'm just trying to get rid of it. And within 3 minutes, I had somebody saying, I'll give you 10. So I didn't offer it for 10. I want 15. Well, I have to take in consideration my drive time. Sorry, lady, your drive time is not my problem. We want what we want. We want what we want. We're a selfish generation. And it's really an amazing thing when you kind of get to it and you start thinking about it, because what's in it for me? And we want God to bless us and answer our prayer and show up in time, in our timing for our issue. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when's the last time you asked God to show you someone that he needed you to bless? When's the last time you brought in your list into your prayer closet and then you set it to the side and said, God, how can I encourage someone else? Who needs a call, God? Who needs a hug? Who needs love? Who needs just a word of encouragement to lift their spirits today? How can I come along somebody and breathe life into them? Who is down that I can lift up? See, when we do that, we're not only connecting with God, but we're connecting with each other, which greatly impacts our connection with God. Do you see how it all works? It's the body. It's loving one another. Now listen, and the thing is this, if you're going to be a cheerleader, you need to know the cheer. Okay? You can't be doing your own thing. Everyone else is doing this, and you're going, And you got to know that you can't just be making up your own stuff. So Scripture teaches us what? You encourage in what? In love and in truth. Isn't it amazing how consistent God is? You encourage in love and in truth. And it takes both. Give truth and love, but you truly can't love someone without the truth. See, if you're in a hole, you don't need somebody to show up with a shovel and start burying you. That's not what you need. You need somebody to show up with a ladder or with a rope that helps you get out of the situation, that gives you truth to build your way out. Speak the truth in love. And a lot of folks are discouraged because we listen to lies. People that aren't going to give you God's view, God's word, are the wrong people to be talking to. Romans 15, 4 to 6, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through the endurance taught in scriptures and the encouragement they provide that we might have hope. And may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude and mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, you can go a long way with hope. When you're here, and God says, I have a promise for you, and it will be, but you don't know how big the gap is, you can say, Father, I'm going to walk forward in hope. And Father, do in me what needs to be done so that I can receive the promise. And even when it's hard, and even when it's tough, and even when it's trying, and even when I kind of look, man, I remember it was so much nicer. No, I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm going to keep moving forward so that my character is ready for the promise of God. And when those two come together, God's perfect will happens. And you say, what got you through? I held on to hope. I held on to it with both hands. I wasn't going to let anybody take it. Why? Because my God is faithful. We can trust that. We can hold on to that. I'm telling you, hope is joyful expectation about the future. Joyful expectation about the future. Hope means where I'm going is better than where I've been. So even if your circumstance doesn't change, you have hope. You can keep going. And encouragement is designed to give you hope. But encouragement is also designed to deal with sin. It gives you hope and it deals with the aspects of our lives that need work. Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. See, sin trips you up. Sin brings guilt and shame, and they don't enter boldly into the presence of God. Sin keeps us from the promise being fulfilled in our lives. And it is sin that often is the current that just pulls us downstream. It just pulls us away. You say, oh, I got my feet dug in. I'm not moving. I don't feel like I'm gaining, but I'm not losing, Pastor. You don't realize you're losing. Sin will always hold you back and keep you back and pull you back. And the two reasons to fight against sin are one, or this. One, to please God. Sin doesn't honor God, and so we fight against sin. We fight against those fleshly urges. We fight against the things that are contrary to the Spirit of God so that we can honor Him and that God will be pleased with us. But two is to stop delaying the promise of God to our life. So if we are struggling with sin, we need people who love us enough to walk with us. We need people who are going to come alongside of us and move us towards the promise of God. Don't go back to help you. Not go back to the way you think you was. I was better off not doing that, but encouraging you to keep moving forward because God is faithful. And when I move forward, I'm not going to miss the promise of God or miss what God has in store for me. Now, I know some of you are tired. I know it. Some of you are tired for waiting for a spouse. Some of you are tired of waiting for your spouse to change. Tired of waiting for your kids to grow out of that stage or that habit. Tired of the boss always overlooking you for someone else. You're tired of being sick or not feeling good or not feeling good enough. You are tired. You've been praying, but it seems like nothing is changing. You're tired. Tired of things not going the way you hoped they would go. Tired of seeming like everything is a struggle. Things that used to be so simple and so easy, you didn't even think about now, are a battleground. You're tired.
and you feel like quitting, and you feel like throwing your hands up, and you feel like saying, I can't keep doing this. But the writer of Hebrews is saying, don't go back. Don't go back. Don't give up. It may look better, but your memory is failing you. Draw near. In fact, the worse you feel, the harder you should press in to Him. There are times you don't feel it and times that I can't see it, and it's hard to hear Him and know what to do. But Hebrews 12:2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus. If I can just keep my eyes on Him and keep moving forward, holding on to hope, and in these times when I can't see, if I have brothers and sisters around me who say, listen, I know you can't see, but He's right over here. I know where He's at. Come on, walk with me. Walk with me. When you don't feel strong, when you don't feel stable, when you're tired and when you're weary, to have someone come alongside of you and kind of lock arms with you and say, we will get there together. We will overcome. We will receive the promise of God for our lives. So draw near to Him and let Him make you ready and give you hope. Amen. Can I get you to bow your heads this morning? Listen, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you today? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you today? I really believe that sometimes our faith really boils down to just simple questions. What is God saying to me? What am I going to do about it? You can find yourself at a place that you are tired and you need encouragement. You need people around you to come alongside of you and to lock arms with you and help get you through. But it requires a couple of things. One, it requires I got to lay my pride down. Because so often it's not that we're not struggling. We just don't want people to know that we're struggling. It's not that we're not tired. It's just I don't want people to know that I'm tired. We're image driven. And God says that stuff that's got to get nailed to the cross. That stuff's got to get nailed to the cross. Scripture also says it's truth that sets you free. So what happens if we walk away from the imagery of strength and all that stuff and we're just honest and truthful and said, God, I'm struggling. God, I'm tired. God, I'm frustrated. I've been praying and praying and I've fasted. I just don't know what else to do, and it doesn't seem like anything is changing. And God, I need help. I need encouragement. I need somebody. I need hope. Scripture says that it's truth that sets you free, not in how good of an image you can paint. We have access to His presence, and we need to draw near to Him, and in the toughest moments, press in. When it's the hardest on you and the hardest for you, not to fall back, but those are the moments to grab hold of hope and say, I will not let go. Because God is faithful. The promise is in front of us. Now, I don't know how big the gap is, but I know the faithfulness of God. I know that encouragement gives us hope, and it holds us, and it keeps us. So this morning, be encouraged. Be encouraged. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to close the message part. I'm going to open up our altars, and if you're here this morning, I want you, if you're tired, I want you if you're weary. I want you if you've been waiting. I want you, if you're at a place of saying, hey, I feel like God has spoken the promise, but I'm here and it's still there and I don't know how long the gap is, and I'm trying to do my best and I'm trying to honor God, but it is tough. It is tough. And this morning, Pastor, I need encouragement. I need brothers and sisters of faith just to come alongside of me and lock arms with me. Say it's going to be okay. I'm with you. He's with you. And you will get through, because faithful is your God. Faithful is your God. But that requires you this morning to be humble. To not allow pride to keep you where you are, but to shake it off and to come and stand at an altar and to receive today encouragement from Him. Draw near. Just draw near. Holy Spirit, you see each and every heart. You see each and every life where we are. Father, you see those that are tired today. You see those that are weary. And Father, there are people who love you, want to serve you. It's not bad people. Tired people aren't sinful people. Sometimes, God, we just go through tough, tough things. And sometimes it's issues of our past we're trying to deal with. Sometimes, God, it's just a part of the character change of our lives, that you are shaping us and you're making us. So, Father, today we just acknowledge we're weary. Will you come? Will you give hope? Will you allow us this morning, Jesus, to come boldly into your presence, like your word says, and find a Savior who is there with the promise, who is at work in our situation. So, Father, this morning as we come, I pray that you will help us to lay at the altar the things we need to lay. And I pray, oh God, that we would discover in this family, this body of believers, people who will come alongside and encourage and lift and speak life and encourage one another in this journey, so that the promises of God will be fulfilled in our lives. There is no one who has loved us like you have loved us, and I thank you for that. Meet us here. Hallelujah. If you're here today and you're weary, you're tired, if you're here today and you need encouragement, you're here today and you're in the journey and you're praying for the promise and you feel like God's given you the promise, but it just hasn't happened yet, and you just need some encouragement, will you come? Will you step from where you are? Will you come and find a place? Come and kneel in His presence. Come and let's just trust Him, because God is faithful. He's faithful. Hallelujah. I'm going to have our worship team lead us in a song. And can I have some of our prayer warriors, can y'all come and let's just agree with folks. Let's just pray with them and ask the Lord to touch them. Hallelujah.
Lord, are you come? And I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. And without you, I fall apart. You're the one who guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. In every hour I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.